Triple Option in studios this week, going to talk some more Purdue football, Purdue basketball, Indianapolis, Pacers, and Colts. And starting with football, got to wrap up the season. We'll probably come back a little bit later and do an actual season wrap-up, but just do the IU game. And my first thoughts, you know, I'm kind of having a difficult time gauging it because about halfway through the third quarter, I was very, very, very unhappy. And they make it a little bit more respectable, and I'm not sure whether to take that, because IU was still playing their starters. I'm not really sure to take that if Purdue found something that clicked or IU took their foot off the gas. I mean, Tyler, what are your thoughts at this point in time of the Purdue-IU game?
I think you can at least say that they found their click, because from what I've heard, they were not. I mean, they kept their starters in, and everyone was saying that the idea probably was that IU was intentionally keeping their foot on the pedal just because, A, they've been beaten by Purdue for most of the series, and at least in recent years, by a decent amount. And B, since they're not going to a bowl, they're going to make this, well, we can't go to a bowl, let's just beat the crap out of Purdue and feel good about ourselves. So I think that what they're able to get going was legitimate on a on the IU team. And while that's a completely different thing to say that you were able to score a couple points on a team that wasn't going to a bowl is not exactly something you're excited about. But I feel, I mean, to me, it was like a tale of, it was a tale of two disappointing halves. The first one, they couldn't do anything. Couldn't score on a terrible defense, and IU was able to score on them, which is not surprising. But then they made it close, and you're like, you know what? And I said, they may not win, but they can make IU nervous. But then they just, like, fourth quarter, after they got it to within 19, which sounds actually kind of bad that you were within 19 and said, hey, we got a shot at this, when actually most teams, that's not really even close. They just lost all gas at the end of the fourth quarter.
Pops, what do you think? Because at one point I was even saying, can we, because it was 42-9 into the third quarter and they were still doing their normal thing. And I was tweeting, I was like, can we at least see Appleby once? I mean, the game's well decided. Can we see what we have? I'm assuming your thought process was the same. And now, you know, Etling sets a record. He throws, I think, for the third most yards in Purdue history in a bucket game. And so now people are, of course, thinking, hey, maybe we finally found something with Anthrop and Posey and Yancey and Etling, and we'll get the tight end Holmes back, and we have, you know, Knopf didn't play the last two games because of an ankle injury. Are you sharing those sentiments? Are you still, because Tyler was working the Collins show, as someone brought up, there's a decently recruited freshman quarterback from Texas coming in this year to join redshirt sophomore Appleby, true sophomore Etling, and a true freshman in David, I think it's Blough.
You're down 42-9, and all of a sudden you start putting up points. That sounds like garbage time to me, which means if you think you could go into next season building upon this, I think you're probably being a little bit delusional. You know, you talked about being frustrated or upset in the third quarter. My frustration and being upset with this probably happened somewhere in about the third quarter of October. I just had just got to the point that something's got to change, and this is one of the worst defenses in the league, if not the country, and You basically score all your points in the fourth quarter when more than likely they're probably playing a prevent or they're at least loosen up the coverage. I don't know what Purdue has. They're 1-11. Did anyone really think they were going to be that bad?
No,
I didn't. I mean, we were thinking, you know, maybe at least 6-6 because that's what Danny Hope did. So we figured, well, if Danny Hope could do a 6-6, well, this guy can do 6-6. Hazel, and it hadn't worked out. I don't know what you have. I mean, it's literally, it really ought to be open competition for everything. And what your recruiting status or your name or your parents or whoever, I don't care about any of that. The best players to be on the field, and you better hope that you can make some inroads next year to go from 1-11 to maybe winning 5 games, maybe 6. But it just sounds like garbage time.
I do want to take a second to tip my cap to Ricardo Allen. He's one of my favorite Boilermaker players. He's a senior. He had 2 interceptions in the IU game. He finishes his career with 13. What's his face that I met? The safety. Schweiger has the record. It's 19-17, I think. So 13's not anything to crow about. I'd like to applaud him. Cody Webster's in the Ray Guy finalist, which is the last 3. I'd like to applaud him as well, because as kind of sarcastic as it sounds to compliment a punter, he's had a really nice career, and, you know, it's unfortunate that he had to be used as much as he was, but if he's a finalist for a national award, I think you got to take pride in that a little bit. So I'd like to applaud those guys. I'm kind of in the boat with Pops here. I mean, don't get me wrong, when they got it to 49-30, I was generally excited because, you know, I'm still a fan, but I was tweeting early on. He had Anthrop open early in the game. He underthrew him on the pass to Anthrop before their first touchdown on the fourth down. I tweeted about that too. It was a post route. He threw it behind him. Otherwise, it would have been at six. Anthrop made a nice sliding grab. There was a swing route late in the game that I was watching in the third quarter. I'm just picking out individual ones. It's all over the place. But there was a swing route to Cottom, and he threw it way behind him, and Cottom was wide open and had room to run. I know they mentioned it today, the wind was a factor, but I don't think a wind's too much of a factor on a swing route. And I've been paying more and more attention to it since Pops and I watched the Penn State game. I think there are legitimate questions about his accuracy and a little bit about his arm strength. Now, Pops, how much of that can be resolved in a legitimate college weight regimen? Because he came in early. I believe he enrolled spring last year, but I don't know how much that... I mean, it benefits him to be around the team for the spring, but I don't know how much he actually gets out of that.
I think his arm strength could be helped. As far as accuracy, it might be a mechanical flaw. It might not. I don't know. Some quarterbacks just are not accurate, and it inhibits their natural talent they have otherwise, and certainly it hurts your football team. But, you know, maybe if... I just am not a big fan of John Shoup, who's the OC. I'm not sure who the quarterback coach is, but that would be something that they would need to work on as far as mechanics in order to make sure that you're not, you know, one of the things I think they were talking to, I remember where it was about Matt Stafford on Thanksgiving, and Aikman was talking about it. When he talked about keeping the nose low, it's an accurate throw. His problem is when he throws it, the nose gets up and it flies over and it goes high. So that's just follow through on it, how you're going. It could be something as simple as that. The arm strength could be helped to a point by lifting weights to build up muscles, but I think there's only so much you could do with that. You either really have great arm strength or you don't. It's just in the muscles, the quick twitch muscles and stuff like that. But I think he could get better, but I'm not convinced that he's as good as everyone says. He's going to have to prove it.
Tyler, before we leave Purdue football, I just want to get some of your last thoughts before we move on to basketball.
Hopefully there's a lot of maturing by all these young guys over the year, I guess over the spring, and you see something good out of all these freshmen, because if not, it seems like a lot of teams, there's going to be a lot of question marks, because the one pride thing you might be able to say is, well, it's young, but if the young guys don't get better, there's not really a whole lot of older guys to lean on anymore.
All right, let's move on to Purdue basketball, because there's going to be plenty to say about this as well. They open up the tournament with Oklahoma State. They're down, I think it's like 23 at half. They cut it to, I think, about four. It was either three or four with about 3 minutes left on a Kendall Stevens, as Pops put it, from the parking lot three-pointer, which I'm pretty sure was ill-advised, but he made it. And they end up losing by 10. But you got to take something out of that, or I'm sure everybody did, because you lose by 10 in the number five team. A front runner for the Naismith in college basketball, right? Is the Heisman?
Yeah.
The Naismith and Marcus Smart, they're number five. They're a good team. You lose by 10. You make a great comeback. And then Purdue turns right around and plays absolutely sluggish and then loses by something like 15 to a Washington State team that is not very good. I mean, Pops, I know that we give you some crap for being the negative one, but I gotta think that you just kind of write off what Purdue did against Oklahoma State when you turn around and blow a game like that against Washington State.
Well, I got told on I think it was whatever day it was, can I ever say anything good about Purdue?
You're a Purdue downer.
No, I'm a Purdue realist. And the thing is whatever they did good in the second half of Oklahoma State, which is what you'd like to see, which is taking the ball to the basket, you know, and playing harder, they just blew it in losing to a Washington State team that was 2-3, had lost three in a row, and had no business beating you. And they just look lethargic. I just get so fed up with watching a team that goes one pass, shoot, one pass, shoot. You have A.J. Hammonds, who's supposedly an NBA prospect, and you have Jay Simpson, who's showed some ability to post up, and you don't throw the ball in the middle. I'm sorry, Purdue insults my basketball sensibilities as far as how they should be playing. Hustling, playing defense, making the extra pass, running an inside-out offense. Purdue is just one pass shoot. And I don't know if it's just the players and the sense that maybe Painter wants to let them do what they want, or they just decide to say, yeah, okay, coach, and they go out and do it again. But, you know, that's just the way it's been since Hummel graduated. And, you know, considering their non-conference, okay, you kind of figure the Oklahoma State game might have been a loss, but you give them a little credit for making a run and making it close. you know, the Washington State thing, that's a team you should beat. And you got some other games that I don't know if this team's strong enough to do anything in the Big Ten. So I don't know what you have over there. I mean, you know, the phrase, they're young, it gets thrown around. And, you know, 5 years ago, that might have meant something. But the trend in college basketball is going young. So I don't really want to hear they're young. They either can play in your system or they can't. And if they can't play in their system and do what the coach wants, the coach is recruiting the wrong type of guys in.
Tyler, what do you think about the Oklahoma State game? Because you listened to that one, and I watched it.
The Oklahoma State game, I guess it was a disappointing loss in that they made it competitive, even though they're playing probably, you know, I'm going to say probably, the best player in college basketball. And I would say that they weren't expected to win that game, and you could have gone out being like, hey, we put up a fight, whatever. No one expected us to win this game. There's just some games that you just can't win because it's a better team, and it was a better team. But was it Washington State, right?
Yeah.
That was just a pathetic loss. And that was just looked like a team that had no heart, couldn't win, didn't care. I mean, come on, really? They were up, what, 15 at half?
10.
10 at half, they lost by 14, lost by 15. That's just pathetic. Are you kidding me? After you could have gone the first game and said, hey, sometimes you just lose to a better team. We need to, you know, let's get out of this tournament, get the win that we could get or supposed to get. And we should get, and you lose that, and you just say, you're not going to win tough games then if you can't beat that game. I mean, come on. That's a game you should have been a little bit motivated to say, let's not leave this tournament losing all the games. They got kicked out of the tournament as the big loser. Purdue, who's supposed to be a basketball school.
Pops told you about this off air, but Painter had kept the players at the Washington State game in the locker room for so long. The officials of the, I think it's called the Hardwood Classic tournament, is the one they're in, thought that they had canceled the press conference. They had a press conference or whatever. But obviously, he clearly kept it in there to chew him out, and you made your comments about it being a young team and how that's not so much of a room for error anymore because the college game is moving to younger players. But is this something where, I guess you could say it's the guys he's bringing in, but maybe Painter's lost them? Because I know that it was one class, and so that kind of makes it an outlier. But when Hummel and Johnson, they wouldn't lose these games. They lost a Wofford game once, but I think it was like really early on. But they didn't lose these games. They may have had off nights, but they were just going to outwork everyone, and they were going to win some ugly games, but they were going to win.
It could be a combination of both, that these guys just aren't susceptible to coaching, and they're not listening to Painter. But it still goes down to Painter recruited these guys, and this is the basis of his basketball team. And if you're going to get guys who are not going to listen to the coach and not run your offense and not play with the energy you need and just come out lethargic, then you're recruiting the wrong guys. And, you know, I've seen this several times. Katie, when he had good teams that over pretty much all his teams that played over their heads, when he thought, well, I'm going to go out and get some guys that have more talent, he got guys that have more talent, but it seems like the guys he got were the ones that were lazy. They were not team players that just didn't give a damn, that didn't play hard. And then he'd go back to getting guys that have less talent but have a lot of desire. You know, it's this guy's hit on one class, and as I continue to maintain, had Hummel not tore his ACL, they more than likely would have went to the Final Four that his senior year. But the season that Hummel played his senior year, they would have been below 500. So you would have had consecutive below 500 seasons going into this. And, you know, this by no way is getting going off to where it's going to make you feel confident that this is going to be a tournament team. And, you know, it's just a little discouraging because you thought with Painter coming back that maybe my Purdue under Gene Cady and what I got used to maybe was coming back. But I don't know what they have.
Tyler, any other thoughts? Because, you know, you talk about the young team. That usually comes with a lack of maturity. And in the first game, Jay Simpson gets tossed out for kind of throwing a slap. He didn't close his hand. And Ronnie Johnson, though I disagree with the call because I don't really know what he did, but he gets his fifth foul on a technical. And, you know, I'm sure good teams have lulls too because, you know, we've seen early on in the college basketball season, North Carolina gets beat at home by some school I can't remember the name of. And so schools have been losing, but even the announcers during the first half of the Washington State game said clearly this looks like a consolation game where both teams lost and it's the first one up. do you have any belief whatsoever after watching the kind of debacle that was last year's season with a fairly young team as he was kind of shifting it, and obviously people were going out because he had four transfers, that he can maybe right the ship a little bit?
I guess he's got the rest of December to figure out, because once you get in a Big Ten schedule, you got to get into a rhythm. And I don't know if he's going to survive another season of playing mediocre, especially with the draft class or the recruiting class he brought in. If they're going to accept mediocre play with that and with all the money they shelled out to the program to improve Mackey, he's got to put some results up there. He's got to not say, I'm not saying win Big Ten, but he's got to challenge. He's got to challenge Ohio State, Michigan State, IU, I guess Wisconsin, Illinois. He's got to be in that talk.
Pops, this is projecting, but what happens with Painter if Purdue has another season where they go 17-17 or whatever, 17-15, whatever they went last year, and they don't make it even into the NIT?
I think his seat next year starts to get hot. He's not going to be fired over this season, but clearly he's probably going to be put on notice. This is not acceptable. And you start wondering, as I've been maintaining for a couple of years, he's hit on one recruiting class. He rode that to the 20-win seasons he's had at Purdue. And since then, and again, because only Hummel played that his fifth year, he got an extra year out of it. But so far since then, it's just not looked good. And if this team can't get to the... frankly, I think it needs to get back to the NCAA tournament, because they take 64 teams. If Purdue cannot get in the NCAA tournament, there's something fundamentally wrong across the river, okay? Because just the amount of teams they take. And it's just pathetic, because I grew up with a team that was consistently in the tournament and played the basketball the way I liked. And maybe I'm old school and I'm crotchety and I just don't like this new stuff with height, with running, you know, fast break offense and everything else. But there's just so much things that are wrong about this that it just aggravates me to no end. But from him, he will start feeling the heat next year.
You reminded me of what I wanted to ask you. Now, obviously, you haven't played on the collegiate level, but I'm going to assume that if I ask you, you're going to tell me that you've played some pickup games in some co-rec leagues or whatever you want to call them that are fairly competitive. Obviously, the talent level is the same, but I'm going to assume you're going to tell me that they were competitive games.
Yes, they were.
How difficult is it to pass the ball into the post?
It's not. I mean, every team that I played on had a big guy, and that was the guy, and everybody knew it. And it's like not like a bunch of us spent a bunch every day together and we practiced together. We got together once a week and we played. But I talked enough to know to the big guy to know that, for the love of God, the ball goes into the big guy and you run your offense inside out. I don't think that's changed, other than the fact that there's just not as many big men out there, because now they're becoming more, the games be going to your off guards and your small forwards, and to a lesser extent, your power forwards. But if you have that, which Purdue has a legitimate center, it's like they could say everything that they want, that, yeah, we're going to go to him, he's an NBA prospect, blah, 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 and all the wah, 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 wah. It doesn't mean a damn thing if you don't do it. And he provides nothing if you don't give it to him. He's not very good on defense. I question his hustling at times. But if you have that advantage over most teams, and they do, you've got to take advantage of it. And, you know, this is a crazy idea, but shots closer to the basket are easier to make than shots away from the basket, except Purdue seems to think differently.
I'm going to question that defense thing. I think he set several block records in his one season and six games or five games or whatever it is. Either way, though, I agree. On offense, I just don't get it, because especially after that's what led to success in the Oklahoma State game. It wasn't so much just Hammonds, but they went inside and he started drawing some fouls on their bigs, and I think that opens up the driving lanes. If you get fouls on the bigs, they're not going to commit as hard on the defense, so you open some things up. But I don't get it either. I'm with you. Let's move on to the Colts. We talked about them last week. Tyler, I asked you guys mostly, but you guys made the point that you thought if there was a team that could play good defense and competent offense in the playoffs, that they would lose. They go up against an Arizona team that I would think, at least coaching-wise, is a little emotionally hyped for it, because it's Arians who was so close to those guys, obviously, last year with the whole Pagano thing, and they get smacked. Indianapolis was not in that game, and I have, you know, since we live in the area, I have several fans that are Colts, and I've heard some of them say they think that Indy might be done. They think that Indy will win the division, obviously, because the rest of the division is crap. But they'll just be one and done in the playoffs again, even though they'll be the 3 or 4 seed. And I got to think with performances that they put together several weeks in a row, it almost looks like Pagano doesn't have them ready for the first half.
That seems true. They come out of the half, it's over at least the last few games, just incredibly sluggish. And they look just, I mean, I agree with you. And then that in the Cardinals game, too. Everyone said that that could be, no one's talking about the Cardinals, but they have a legitimate team going. But the Rams game and the Titans game that they won and lost, they just looked terrible. And they looked like they just could not get anything going for them. And in some parts, I understand. But other parts, you look at the team the first half, and you just want to go, like, how is this team winning their division? They can't score on anybody in the first half. They can't seem to get off their own 20-yard line, even though they got Andrew Luck, who's probably the best quarterback under 24 or something like that, who is just beyond great and just going to get better. And just everything, to me, it just looks like every other team is like the old main teams. Every other part of the team just sucks. It's just terrible. It's just awful, which makes me think Ursay doing this all talking makes me think, congratulations, you got one quarterback, and continue to just coast off that decision and say, screw it, just sign every other guy and don't even look into it. If they're playing with Andrew Luck, it'll work out. Whatever. I mean, that's just what it looks like. Just like throwing the guys, they're like, ah, screw it. Sign him. Give him tons of money. Andrew Luck's there. It'll work out. Don't just let him. He'll figure it out eventually. It's just what it looks like. That's what it was with Manning. It seemed like a lot of those guys are like, ah, screw it. Just give him a contract. We'll put him on the football field. They're just signing people so they have a roster of 53 guys.
That was a little more passionate than I expected. Pops, you agree with that? I don't want to go so far because Manning played with some pretty competent offensive players, but, I mean, the defense was a question pretty much the entire time when he was there, but Tyler was pretty passionate about that.
Look, they have Andrew Luck. They earned that right to make that pick. They had a 50% chance to screw it up, and they didn't. Congratulations. But the problem I hate is that you have an owner who's an egomaniac who wants to basically tell everybody before it happens what you're doing, which makes no sense to me at all. And nope. Then if you're playing poker, it would be like, hey, I got 4 aces. And when you can't figure out when everybody folds, I continue to maintain that that losing Reggie Wayne has hurt them, but they've lost a lot of talent on the offensive side. Haven't replaced a lot of it. The tight end, Fleener, has been a disappointment.
Told you.
And for
be.
The love of God, how many times do you have to watch Trent Richardson get the ball, run into a defensive guy, and go down with very little effort to get out? The guy's averaging something like 40 yards a game, and Pep Hamilton, that seer of seers, who is the quarterback coach of the Bears, we all know how well that went, because somehow went to Stanford and must have conned somebody to get the offensive coordinator, now is screwing with Andrew Luck, and instead of throwing the ball and putting it in Luck's hands, which is what they did last year, now they want to be a power football running team. Here's the problem. You don't have an offensive line to do that. You really don't have a running back to do that, and you don't have a serious enough wide receiver threat to scare anybody, but other than that, you're fine. They get what they deserve. Last year, they played over their heads. Luck was as good as advertised. They had Reggie Wayne, who was extremely key, one of the league leaders in targets last year. Wayne is gone. You also lost Donnie Avery, who played a key role for them, too, is now with the Chiefs in Kansas City. And you got T.Y. Hilton, who probably should be your third receiver. And you got Darius Hayward bust, who's been just brutal, okay? He couldn't catch a cold. But you want to continue handing off to a guy who has 3 yards and a clod of dirt. And that's Trent Richardson. And it's on many different levels,
3 yards and cloud of dirt.
On many different levels, this team isn't that good. You're playing in a lousy division. Did we think Houston was going to be good as last year? No, but did we think they were going to collapse on themselves and go 2-8? No, I don't think anybody saw that. So it's like somebody has to win this division. You know, it's like instead of, you know, I remember a Three Stooges scene where they were asking for a volunteer. Instead of someone stepping forward, everybody else takes a step back, and they took a look around and said, hey, you're it. And that's kind of the way I look at that division.
Okay, so both of you, they're not, I'm assuming you're still going to say they win the division.
I don't know. The Titans are playing themselves back into it. I think they're, what, 2 games back? I mean, possible.
Pops?
I think.
I don't see the Titans. You know, Fitzpatrick led a win over the Raiders last week. Congratulations. I don't know if that's anything to stick in your resume. But I think somebody has to win that division, and it appears it's going to be the Colts. I don't know if it's really a gift or if it's just the opportunity to host a first round game and have an opponent that's going to come in that's probably going to be better than you, so you could get your butt whooped. So, you know, enjoy that first home game, Indy, because I think it's going to be your last one this year in the wild card round.
All right, let's talk a little bit about the Pacers. I don't know if there's really much to talk about because they just keep winning. I mean, is there anything new to add? They still don't have Granger back. You touched on it last week. Until they really play kind of the marquee opponents, they're really just kind of fattening their win total against the awful East.
Well, all you could do is play who's on your schedule, and I don't think they played the Heat yet. And, you know, now with Rose out with the Bulls, okay, well, it's just that almost becomes another game. So the dredge of the East, the just the horridness of the East just continues to go forward. And then I think I predicted, 64 wins last year?
Something like that, 64,
65. I still stay with it. I still maintain the three of us gets to like another five or six guys, and we might challenge for maybe the 10th or 11th spot in the East. It's that bad. This is the worst I've seen. And considering how many lottery picks that these teams in the East have had, the fact that they're still there, they at least can't get to some level of mediocrity and instead of staying at a level of complete suck, means I don't understand what's going on, other than those fans are completely being defrauded of all the money to go watch a bad basketball team. And if they really want to go watch a bad basketball, they could go to their neighborhood high school.
Tyler, any additional thoughts for the Pacers?
I think you're going to see a record similar to how a couple years ago Seattle Seahawks made the NFL playoffs as the first losing record to get in the NFL playoffs. I think you're going to see a record worse schedule get into the NBA playoffs this year, especially because they're talking about the Bobcats getting in when, like, 2 years ago, the Bobcats couldn't even get double-digit wins in a year, and they could get in the playoffs. I want to be in Charlotte when they make it the playoffs, just to do the whole "we want the Heat" and just play that game and be like, "We're going to play our hearts out for this game," and then lose like every game by 50 points.
I don't think it's a bold statement to say that you will have losing records in the playoffs. Let's move on to college football, because really there's nothing more to add to the Pacers, and there's some big stuff going on in college football. Pops, point blank question: does Ohio State deserve to be number two?
No.
Who's
Tyler?
Number two?
Auburn.
Auburn? Well, I would say my top four. Well, at least my top three would go Florida State, Auburn, Ohio State. But at the same time, I feel like Ohio State's going to be two, but Auburn's probably going to play a better team and win by a more decisive match in the championship game. So I say by the end of the tail in next week, it will be Auburn in the top two.
Yeah, because we looked at it, and that stupid point system for the BCS has Ohio State actually fairly far ahead. But I agree 100%. SEC clearly way better than Big Ten. I don't care if Ohio State somehow managed to be 20-0. Auburn deserves it. They beat number one. Are they going to get knocked for it being literally a last-second play, return a kick for a touchdown because it was close? I mean, don't they normally say home field's worth three, and so that's kind of a fluke at home that maybe you don't get on the road?
You're playing the number one team in America, has won three of the last four national titles. A close win for them is a lot more acceptable than Ohio State winning by one in Ann Arbor. And, you know, you're going to get the old, "Well, it was a rivalry, so you don't know what happens." Well, you know, you should have ended the rivalry emotion from coming out of Michigan in the second quarter, and you just let them hang around. You're probably lucky to win that game. So I think it's going to hurt Ohio State more than what Auburn did. It more than likely Auburn covered, Ohio State didn't.
Question then, because you've kind of said Ohio State's going to run through the Big Ten regardless, do you still think Ohio State's beat Michigan State?
Yeah, because I think Michigan State beat a really good Minnesota team 14-3 at home.
I think Minnesota's a decent team, though, and I still maintain, especially because you're talking about it today, Ohio State's defense is not very good. Michigan State's defense is very good. I think that there is just the wrong matchup for Ohio State, because I think Michigan State found a quarterback, and I don't think Ohio State's necessarily going to really stop you from moving the ball.
Well, I think that the Ohio State offense is something that Michigan State's not seen either, and I think they're going to have trouble with that. So I think Ohio State wins that one, but I think it's going to be a lot closer than what a lot of us thought.
Well, we've been on Michigan
State. Okay, it's a lot closer than what I thought, okay?
Okay, next question then. How serious should Northern Illinois be demanding a shot at the national championship now?
Well, that's an interesting question. I mean, on the merits of what they did, I think they should.
I'm not, also, to be sure, I'm not laughing because I think it's ridiculous. I'm laughing because I never even thought about that.
But, you know, the ironic thing was, I've been hearing this week, despite all the money that the Northern Illinois got for going to the BCS, they lost money on that having to travel down to Miami.
That so still doesn't make sense.
There's a thought that, you know, maybe they'd rather not go, but now I think it's they will get back into the BCS, and I think they should be up there because the Big Ten has more of a prestigious in history, but when compared this year to the big conferences, namely the SEC and the Big 12, and I guess maybe the ACC if you want to put them, the Big Ten's a joke. And I think Northern Illinois should be argumentative, if not in the top five, probably close, because they've done it two consecutive years. The only loss they had last year was to Florida State. You could argue that the first-time jitters, they've never been into that, and all they do is win. And I think they have a legitimate argument, especially if, let's say, Ohio State goes down. Then you have what?
Florida State.
Florida State's undefeated.
That's then, it, I think.
And Northern Illinois.
Yeah.
Because Fresno State went down.
They have a little more than legitimate gripe. Now, granted, more likely Auburn will play because they slayed the big giant dragon called Alabama. But Northern Illinois has just as much of an argument, I think, as Ohio State, simply because the just horridness that is the suck of the Big Ten. They won the Big Ten, but, you know, that's kind of a tall midget award in my book.
Well, I told Blair that I'd like to see Florida State go down and have Auburn, Ohio State play national championships just to see Auburn win and to kind of look at Urban Meyer and say, shouldn't have left the SEC because that's where the big boys are. You left to go win in the little pond. Congratulations, you won the Big Ten. Watch them get spanked in the national championship. Just to be like, you're not in the cool leagues. Just because you win Ohio State, nobody cares. National championship's what matters.
Going to rifle some questions at you. We'll do these in the picks. We'll probably be picking conference championship games this week. Quick answer. Do you give Duke a shot against Florida State?
No.
Tyler?
Maybe a little bit.
Second question. Has Alabama, with this loss, locked themselves into that large bid?
Yes.
Yeah.
Just like Florida last year? Okay. And then finally, is Ohio State, if Ohio State loses to Michigan State, are they still an at-large for the BCS?
I would think yes, because of the lack of really other alternatives.
Probably, yeah. Probably like 80% chance.
Okay, well, that's going to do it for this week. Like I said, we'll probably do in our picks this week, we'll be doing conference championship games and see if anything NFL-wise tickles our fancy. We'll be back next week for the triple option. I'm Blair Gunther.
Tyler Gunther.
Harold Gunther.
Watch out for the pitch.